Hi there folks, Paul here signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. Now today we're going to continue on our series, the Sermon on the Mount. We're looking at Matthew chapter 6, today verses 22 and 23. Just a short section, but so much value, so much that we can gain from this beautiful teaching from the Lord. I think we'll kick off, we'll just read the text and then come back, look at a few notes and go from there. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It finishes with an exclamation mark. This is a warning. This is a powerful warning from the Lord. And I love the way so often, of course, that he uses both parables and metaphors to speak to us, and did this in such manner. So as he said at another time, some will hear, some won't. Let those who have ears to hear, hear. And I pray today that this be you, that you will have ears, and that these short, simple, yet powerful words will just reach deep into your spirit, into your heart, and they can then make change from them, as we know that indeed the scriptures can. Here's the thing. This is speaking to the importance of our spiritual vision. Not just so much what we look at, but what we look at that becomes a part of our heart. And our spiritual vision, it determines everything. Our attitudes, our thoughts, our feelings, our interpretation, our vision of what we see in the world, the way which we think about things is how we see things. Whether we see them in the light of God's truth, or whether we see them in the light of worldly deception and misinformation, that's truly what it is, misinformation, the word that we get from the world being different from the word that we get from the Bible. We need to make note of these important things, not just what we look at, but where it goes and how it sits in our heart and in our mind also. So let's have a look first at just that first verse, 22. The lamp of the body is the eye, and therefore if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Now, the eye is often used in Scripture as reference to the lamp of the body representing our spiritual vision. And at a cursive glance, we can look at this and go, yes, if we're looking at things we should not be looking at, that is bad for us. But there is so much more. Everything that we see, everything that we hear, remember, this is just a metaphor, an example, an illustration. Everything that we think, hear, do, even say affects how we think, feel, react from within our heart. And the good eye is the one that is clear. It is focused, and this is the key, it is singularly focused towards God, His will, His purpose, His wants, His needs for us in our life to serve Him. Proverbs 4, verses 25, 27, drop those down if you like. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. I'm not going to break that down. I want you to write that down and go and read it and review it later for yourself. Proverbs 4, verses 25 through 27. Simple, powerful, clear illustration that cannot be misunderstood. We need to look at what we are doing in life. We need to look at how we are thinking, how we are feeling in life, and see whether the world's interpretation of things is ours, or whether God's viewpoint on things has become ours now as new creations in Christ. To have a good eye, we need to have our eyes set on the kingdom of God, on kingdom things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Jesus said in Matthew 6, 33. Daily prayer, Bible study, these are the things that help keep our spiritual vision clear. And I know I keep pointing towards this, And I know that if you're not yet in this habit, it is a difficult thing to do. I know I fought against it for over 10 years. Daily reading, daily prayer, Bible study, understanding the meaning behind the words, the full intent. Have you noticed that here as we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, especially now here in chapter 6 of Matthew? Speaking to our heart, looking at how everything that we do, it comes from within here. Well, we need to pray. We need to pray about our lives and how we manage them, how we think and how we feel. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, Lord, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Of course, then writing about the Torah, the first five books. But for us now, we have the entirety of Scripture. Father, open our eyes, we might pray, that we might see wondrous things in your word. We also remember Matthew 6, right here, 22, this second part of the verse. Therefore, this is key, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. A good eye fills our entire being with light, symbolizing, of course, God's truth, God's guidance, God's wisdom, God's direction in our lives. Is that what you want? That's why I do these. I do these that I might encourage you to dig further into the Word, to seek God more and deeply and passionately. Because the result of this is the way and the manner in which you live. And I promise you that if your body, if your eye, heart, mind is filled with God's light, life just changes in such a beautiful way that He is intimately and intricately a part of every single moment of it. That is what I want for you. I don't want, as I see for so many Christians, that they struggle. That they struggle from day to day. Why this? Why that? Oh God, woe is me. Stop it. I'm giving you the formula now. Regular daily Bible study. Regular daily prayer. Walking with your Lord and your Savior, who died and gave everything that you might have the Holy Spirit within. And then have, as we do now, the power, the ability to be able to walk in such manner that we can walk in the Spirit and not succumb to the lusts of the flesh. And yet we still struggle because we don't do it. Psalm 119, again, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. I remember a song from years and years ago, Amy Grant, I think it may have been. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto your path, my path. It's what we want, guys. It's what we want, isn't it? His word. The Holy Scriptures, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that it might reveal Christ to us so we would come to Him and, hey, if you've done this, which I'm pretty sure you would be now listening to this, then He teaches us by which manner we should walk and the path. And so with a good eye, we can experience the clarity. We can experience the peace and that deeper relationship with God. And that's why I get so passionate sometimes. We are so much then better equipped to just deal with and navigate life's challenges. Because yes, there's going to be problems. Jesus said it himself. In this world, you will have trouble. He said, the world hates you. That's because it hated me first. Why did it hate him? Because he called out the truth. And the world does not like the truth, but we can live by it and live under His protection and guidance. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, Colossians chapter 2. This reading of this word, the Bible, helps us do that. But there's a warning. There's a warning also, the part that's so often missed in this message. And the warning is the danger of a bad eye living in darkness. Now, we all came from a place like this. But the warning from Christ is that for us, we should not go back to it. Or if we're in it and just haven't left it yet, that we should. Now, there are some Christians out there, and this is such a poor use of preaching the word. There are some who will set you in condemnation right here, right now, because, oh, you're a new creation and you haven't changed. We have not seen the evidence of that new creation in Christ in your life. Put my hand up. That was me for such a long time. So I don't condemn you, but I warn you and I urge you to walk away from it. Verse 23 says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness. And what is darkness? It's the absence of light. Yeah? How great then is that darkness? If we should come to Christ and yet walk away and we have that absence of him in our lives, how great is that darkness? I'm referring here to spiritual blindness, resulting from a divided focus, not just a singular focus on things of the world. That's us before we came to Christ. But now in Christ, a divided focus brings still spiritual darkness. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, John was not writing to unbelievers. You need to understand that. That just because you believe, just because you have faith, just because you are born again, does not mean you are now fully walking in the Spirit. You need to make a conscious decision. You need to come to the Lord and say, Father, forgive me, I have sinned. As the prodigal son said, Father, I've sinned against you and God. Yes. Take a number. Get in line. Stop beating yourself up. It happens. But now I say to you, perhaps now, it is the time to put an end to those things. Because that darkness which is the world, that is still a part of your life, it creates this confusion. It creates stumbling in our walk in Christ, separation even from God, should it go deep enough. John 12 says, and Jesus said to them, this was the disciples, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Folks, we need to guard ourselves. We need to guard ourselves against influences that can cloud our spiritual vision and surround ourselves with godly influences that do the exact opposite, that they seek God's guidance in every single thing. And this is not just with what you might look at. This is the clear, the plain, the obvious. Men, the lust of the flesh, the pornography, and so on. It's not just that. It can be in the music you're listening to. It can also be for both, you know, men and women, of course. It can be in the books that you might read, even fiction. It can be in the magazines. It can be in the company that we keep. Every single thing. It can be in the social scrolling and the posts that we pause and that we read and we get caught up on. Are they of the Word of God? Are they in Scripture? If they're not, really, should we be spending so much time, if any, on them? No. And I don't stand here before you and, well, sit as it is, I don't sit here before you and go, hey, look at how good I am. Oh, my goodness, no. This is a process. It begins with the will and the want in the heart. How does that begin? Through prayer and by reading of the Word, and that desire builds within us. And then we have to make the decisions to change things in our lives. But the Holy Spirit enables it. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability and the power to do such things. Oh boy, and then I can tell you and promise you that when you do, when you make that willful want and effort to stand fast according to Scripture before your Lord, oh boy, that's when all of a sudden you have that moment which is like, This, Lord, wow. So this is what it's supposed to be like. And just a glimpse sometimes. Sometimes just a glimpse of, is it? We have this picture in our minds, don't we? Of what walking rightly as a Christian could or should be. We have examples in Scripture, and we develop this imagination in our mind of what it could or should be. And when you start doing this and your body, your mind, your soul, your heart is filled with this light, you start to see glimpses of you just doing that, walking rightly with your Lord. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And so, folks, I want to just recap. Two simple scriptures. How much can we get from two simple scriptures? How much instruction? How much love? How much wisdom? How much knowledge? How much direction do we get from just two simple scriptures? Folks, let's start walking. Let's start walking in the light. Let's start filling our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes with the things of God instead of the things of the world. Shift the balance. Shift it back to Him. I can't even begin to explain how much of a difference it will make in your actual physical living, in your daily life, in the flesh, in this world, in these moments. How much of an incredible difference it will make when you start walking rightly with your God, not just in the religious of what you do, but in the heart with what you desire. And remember also that there are dangers. There are consequences for not doing such. Not just now, but in that afterlife time as well. We never, ever, ever want to be one of those by whom we come before God and Jesus says, I never knew you. And we say, oh, but I did this in your name. I did that in your name. And you said, depart from me, you who practiced what? Lawlessness. I didn't know you. That verse should keep us awake at night if we are not living rightly with our God. I know it did me. And that prayer that I prayed, which I say so often, but I say to you in case you need to pray it as well, is, Lord God, please don't let me die until I am right with you. That was my prayer for years as I struggled, as I wrestled with these things, as I wrestled with the darkness that was just part of me, though I believed, though I had faith, little faith. But I believed in Jesus. I believed in God. I had given my life to Him. No, I said I had, but I hadn't really. I was walking in darkness. And how great was that darkness? But Lord God, I would pray the same for each and every man and woman listening to this now, that you gave to me that chance, that second chance, that opportunity through your word. And you open my mind with wisdom and with understanding of your purpose for my life. I pray the same for everyone listening to this now. And to you, I say thank you for joining with me. I give the benediction of Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance to you and give you peace. God bless. Have a wonderful week. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.